James at 7:15.
All right, the time is 10 a.m. Today is Wednesday, July 31, 2024. We're in a regular session of the Upper County Commissioners' Court. Everybody's here, so I'm gonna declare a call this present. We're gonna start off by offering a word of prayer with Jean Dolly, for which we remain seated. And then following that, we'll do the pledges to the flag for which we stand, led by Commissioner Dustin Nichols.
Heavenly Father, we're thankful today for this day and this opportunity to serve you one more day. We pray and ask, Lord, that you be with us today, and we ask you to be here and to help us to make the decisions that would be right and correct and would benefit the citizens of Upshur County, and would, Lord, would be pleasing to thee. Heavenly Father, we come also asking you, and we never want to forget the people that serve us and protect us daily. And we pray, dear Lord, that you put your blessings and protection and set your angels about our military, our law enforcement, our ambulance drivers, our first responders, those that serve us 24/7 to help and to provide service and medical aid and the comfort that the citizens need when they're in serious trouble and when they are in need of emergency help. Father, we ask for their divine protection. Lord, we pray this day that we do these things all in the wonderful, lovely name of Jesus. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
We're all sitting by the time of the public speaking.
No.
Thank you, ma'am. Number three, consider take action on approval of A, minutes of previous meetings, B, payroll changes, C, the payroll, D, budget amendments, E, accounts payable, F, to accept forward recording the following: auditor's reports, treasurer's reports, bonds, oaths, deputations, certificates, state and county taxes summary, refund of overpayment of erroneous tax payments in excess of $2,500, certificate of liability insurance for Beckett Oil and Fuel, LP, DBA Eagle Fuel and Oil, certificate of liability insurance for Fox, wholesale ink, and applications for use of county roads and rights of way permit requests.
Make a motion for the same items A through F.
Second.
Motion and a second that we approve items 3A through F. Any further discussion on that motion? Those in favor, please indicate.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. We're going to move down to round 12. Renovations, Joseph Fleur's on the way. He had a budget meeting he had to attend. We'll come back to it. Number 5. We have with us today members of the jail staff, and we're going to hear from Sheriff Webb recognizing the jail personnel for their response to a jail incident that occurred on June 10, 2024.
Thank you, Judge. Commissioners. When you mention the Sheriff's Office, most folks would... First thing that comes to mind is the law enforcement division. Of course, those are the guys out in uniform and the patrol cars, and that's what the public generally thinks about. But they don't think about the other division that I have, which is the jail personnel. And they're just as important to the sheriff's office as the law enforcement side. They have a very important job to take care of the prisoners and the inmates down in the jail, and the day-to-day operations of the 24/7 job that not a whole lot of people can do. Well, an incident had come to my attention with my jail staff, and they brought it to me. So I'm just going to read you basically what happened, and then we'll go from there. On June the 10th, 2024, Jailer Roach was performing her duties in the Upshur County Jail. As she walked past the cell, she glanced in and observed what appeared to be a sheet hanging from the front air vent closest to the door. At that time, she did not observe the inmate and was assigned to the cell and investigated further. Jailer Roach looked closer. She observed the inmate with a sheet wrapped around their neck, and their feet and legs were folded underneath them. Jailer Roach took immediate action and called for all available jailers to respond to the cell. Jailer Crutzinger, who was working in the control room and was monitoring the situation, opened all the doors needed so the responding jailers could quickly assist. Roach started using her cut-down scissors. As other jailers arrived, she directed them to assist her. Jailer Bynum and Jailer Thomas also entered into the cell behind Jailer Roach. They grabbed the inmate's legs and lifted the inmate to take pressure off of the inmate's neck. Jailer Roach continued to cut through the sheets and was successful in removing it from the inmate's neck. Now, the paper guys want to handle this next one. I want to give you a mental picture of what sometimes the jailers in the jail actually have to deal with a lot. Okay, not only did they realize that somebody was in distress, medical distress, and was actually trying to inflict self-harm, but to give you a mental picture of what the jail staff was facing while they performed the rescue procedures to save this inmate's life, not only were they confronted with an unresponsive inmate hanging from a sheet, the inmate's lips have turned blue and their purple had turned complexion. It was purple now, their complexion. With only gurgling sounds, no response whatsoever. The inmate had also defecated and urinated on themselves and the floor in the cell. As you can imagine, this is a very stressful situation for everyone involved as they respond to the incident. Sergeant Lauer and Medical Jailer Jaton arrived to assist and give a medical assistance to the inmates. Once the inmate regained consciousness, and while waiting for EMS to arrive, the inmate began trying to harm themselves once again. The inmate had to be restrained until EMS arrived and transported them to the hospital for treatment. Due to these jailers' immediate action, the inmate's life was saved while also keeping them from further self-inflicted injuries. The actions taken on this day brings great credit upon y'all, the Sheriff's Office, and the citizens of Upshur County. Through your actions and quick response as a team to a very difficult situation, y'all are accredited with saving the inmate's life and preventing any further injuries. It's my honor to award you each the life-saving award for your actions on that day. So let me introduce everybody. We got Sergeant Lauer. Come on up. Mr. Rance was sick. Go ahead and stand up here for him. He can't be here, unfortunately. He's not feeling very well. We've got Mr. Bynum, who's currently in the jail school, so he can't miss any schooling we want him to learn.
Yes.
So he's got to be back, so I couldn't pull him out of there. But we got Jailer Crutzinger, who's here with us. We got Jailer Roach, who's with us. We got our medical staff jailer, Ms. Jaton. Would you come up and join them? Of course, everybody knows who our jail administrator is, the Lieutenant Ferguson. And we have our Chief Deputy, James Grundy, who do an excellent job. So, if you wouldn't mind, Mr. Messel, would you come here and help me? I'll read the award to them, what it actually says. It says, it is hereby awarded a life-saving award. This award is presented to the jailers in your name, an extraordinary personal action and exemplary teamwork that saved a jail inmate's life on June the 10th, 2024. Your decisive actions reflect the highest standard of conduct for the law enforcement profession and brings great credit to yourself and the Upshur County Sheriff's Office. Okay. Mr. Crutzinger. Thank you very much. Colonel Lauer.
Thank you, Mr. Rhodes.
And what they were presented with was their certificate and a pin that they can wear on their uniform. Thank y'all very much. Okay, well, they have a job to perform, obviously. If they're excused for the rest of the meeting.
Thank y'all.
Thank you, Sheriff, for that process.
Thank you.
Number six, discuss and take action to approve a flyover of Upsher County on October 17, 2024. In connection with the dedication of Camp Billy Mason and the East Texas Jamboree, Mr. Steve Dean's here with us, and I want to record to hear just a little bit about Billy Mason and be sure it's okay what we're proposing to do.
Out on Mason Lane, out near Lake Gilmer, the Mason family settled that area in the early 1900s. And the entire length of the road, Mason Lane, even down to Cherokee Trace, out across what is now Lake Gilmer Dam and on down the Trace, various members of the Mason family settled that area. Billy Mason was a Gilmer High School graduate. He was a Gilmer Buckeye, and he was born out on Mason Lane, the property right next door to where Commissioner Miller lives. And so through the museum and the way that we honor our veterans, the Flight of the Phoenix Aviation Museum, we wanted to honor Billy, his special contribution to our country. So let me read about Billy. On August 19, 1966, U.S. Navy Petty Officer Billy Mason from Gilmer, Texas, was serving as the point man for SEAL Team 1 in the Rungsat Special Zone in Vietnam. Mason led his team through Viet Cong territory in the Mekong River Delta in search of two camouflaged sampans reported by friendly elements. Upon reaching a clearing in the dense jungle, Billy halted his patrol and proceeded into the clearing alone. Spotting an enemy ambush, he chose to expose himself to possible fire by firing his weapon on the enemy positions, rather than to retrace his steps and thereby compromise his team members' position. By this courageous act, he enabled his teammates to seek cover, form a hasty defensive perimeter, and escape unharmed after suppressing the enemy fire. Billy was fatally wounded in the initial enemy fusillade. One of Billy's teammates carried his body from the site of the Viet Cong ambush, declaring that dead or alive, we'll never leave a teammate behind. This declaration gave birth to the tradition, no man left behind, dead or alive, which has become a general proclamation of the United States military services. So the location, the actual property where Billy's home place is located, we're creating a memorial park. When Billy was recognized for his bravery and his valor, the United States Navy renamed a SEAL training base in Southern California after Billy. And it's now where the SEALs train, before they go on missions. It's called Camp Billy Matchin Desert Warfare Training Facility. So we're dedicating a memorial park on Matchin Lane for Billy, and it's going to be named Camp Billy Matchin Desert Warfare Training Facility Memorial Park. And on October 17th of this year, on Thursday of the Yamboree, that afternoon after the luncheon, the Yamboree luncheon, we're going to go out on Matchin Lane and dedicate the park. We've applied for a Texas Historical Commission memorial marker, commemorative marker, and I was just notified yesterday afternoon that the commission has approved the marker. So that'll be a special time. We're requesting support from the military, and one of the things that we're asking for, possibility of a military flypast. So in the documentation that we submit to the Pentagon for that, we have to get the permission from the local governing authority, which is the Upshur County Commissioner's Court. So I'm requesting that you allow Judge Steptower to sign the document so we can request military support. So, and I would like to invite you out to the dedication. Our committee for the dedication and for the commemorative marker, Gwen Jewett is the chairman of the Upshur County Historical Commission, and she was the key person in the project to get the historical marker. And Amaret Birch is the manager, office manager, and executive director of the East Texas Yamboree. Amaret was a big help on this, as well as Major General John Brazil, who's a local boy that's now Major General, retired in the U.S. Air Force, and his dad, Frank Brazil, and Billy were best friends in high school. So with that, I'm asking for Commissioner's Court approval.
Don't sit down yet.
Okay.
I read an article, a feature article by Steve Blow, the Dallas Morning News. I don't know if you read it. He interviewed Billy, had a baby you never got to see.
Okay.
I didn't know.
Sam.
Now, the story I got was when he knew they were in an ambush, he told somebody, kiss the baby for it. But y'all won't come out here. That's, you know, legends grow, but the question I had, I've always heard he was one of the first casualties. Is he that just legend, or?
Billy was the first Navy SEAL killed in action in the Vietnam War.
But it was in 66.
Right, and he, if you go to any SEAL organization, any operation that the SEALs are involved in, and if you just say the word, Gilmer, Texas, the person you're speaking to will say Billy Matchin.
I know he was tough. Barbara Tepfel, my mama told me Billy Matchin was tough.
I was a freshman.
High school with him.
I was a freshman in shop, and he was a senior.
Yeah.
And he was tough. We had hazing back then for freshmen.
He's requesting a flyover. The request is that we're okay with them doing a flyover 400 feet. I think it would be great. You had a B-1 bomber here one day.
Yes, sir, I did.
And then you got a B-52 here. Right. We reinterred that fella out here at Gilmer. So I guess I need a vote. If it's okay to authorize me to sign this, proceed.
To approve.
Second. Okay. Motion and second.
Motion and second. We approve the flyover. Those in favor, please indicate. Motion passes 5-0. Steve, you need to show me where on this thing I need to sign if I do.
Okay, I'll show you after. Yeah.
You may not want to stay here. We're going to be here a while.
Okay.
If you know where it is, highlight it or something.
Does anybody know how old the boy was when he was killed? It says here he was a 55 graduate of the high school, so I was thinking probably around 30.
Right.
How old?
Right here is what you signed. You can just sign right in this area right here.
only two that.
Bill, if I didn't hear your question.
I was just asking if anybody knew how old the boy was when he was killed, and Jay said 27.
Yeah, Billy, yeah, he was 27.
Okay.
Bill, there's a story, file about him available online on a website called Veteran Tributes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they've actually got a printed office down at the chamber office. You can pick it up and read it there.
Where was he buried, Steve?
At, I want to say Long Oak, it's up by Midway. The Long Oak Baptist Church.
Where, Bill Mitchell's buried?
Yes.
He's buried at Willow Oak Baptist.
Willow.
Here in Upshur County.
Yeah, Willow Oak, I said Long Oak, Willow Oak.
All righty. Thank you, sir. Number seven, discuss and take action to change the classification of the IT specialist position within the sheriff's department from not exempt to exempt. Sheriff?
Yes, this was something that Ms. Connie brought to our attention about Senate Bill 22, or that the IT position that we created, that the comp time and overtime is not covered by Senate Bill 22, and the he would also, his job description to the Fair Standard Labor Act would also give him the ability to be an exempt employee if we were to deem him that. And I think after talking to Ms. Connie, that's the way that we need to go.
Yeah, what does this make him exempt from, Larry?
Overtime and comp time pay.
Okay. In other words, he would not receive overtime and comp
no.
pay.
No.
Okay. He's on that.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
We've discussed that at length with him. Yes.
So Ms. Williams is helping you do this to keep you square with the requirements of Senate Bill 22.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Motion approved.
Okay. Motion and second that we change the classification of the IT specialist position down at the sheriff's office from non-exempt to exempt. Any further discussion?
I have something I need to know.
Yes, ma'am.
I need to know what to do with the comp time he has on the books now, and then also I need to know if he will turn in the comp sheet or if he will not.
Maddie, those are good questions. I would say, like all other exempt persons, he would only turn in an exception time sheet for holidays and sick leave. Mm-hmm. The comp time that he has now, the county would have to cover if we pay out comp time.
Yes, but y'all can say today that he can just use it like sick or vacation and no payout when he does leave.
I would say that. And how much comp time does he have?
21.75.
Okay, I would allow him to use that as sick or vacation. Mm-hmm. Because he is fully funded by SB 22, and SB 22 does not allow for overtime or comp time pay.
Or they will allow us to use burn that time?
Because we're not actually paying him for it, so okay. He will just be using that.
Okay.
Okay, the motion and second still stands. Any further discussion?
Do we need to put that in the record, Maddie?
Yeah.
Motion approved and allow the comp time and that's been acquired to this point to be used for sick time or vacation time. Motion.
All right.
Second.
Any further discussion? Those in favor, please indicate. The motion passes 5-0. Number eight. Discuss and take action to approve the purchase and installation of new carpet in JP number 2 to be charged with the dedicated fund 234 Justice Court Support Fund at a cost of $315.25.
This has been needed done for quite some time. Now that this is the last thing that has not been remodeled down in that area. So I ask the commissioners to approve this.
Who are y'all buying it from, Dustin?
I don't know who the person is.
I make a motion to approve.
Second. So I have a motion and a second?
Yes.
Okay, any further discussion? Those in favor, please indicate.
Aye.
Motion passes five oh. I'm sorry, guys, I don't hear too well anymore.
You what, Jay?
Say it good.
All right. That's kind of good, these people are talking about you, I don't hear them. Especially in criminal court. All right, number nine, discuss and take action to approve the request from our library to change the hiring days to 16 on the library's part-time position only. Ms. King?
Yes, our part-time girl has left to go to college, and we've had some volunteers that have really helped out during the summertime, and but they're only 16 years old. And so with our girl leaving, I would like to hire one of the volunteers that already have experience working in the library.
They smart?
Yes.
They read books?
Yes, they do. And they're part of the teen advisory board for the library. They're very involved with the library as well. And so I'm just asking for that one position, because these girls, they do go to school, so they would work in the afternoons and on Saturdays, just like our previous girl did.
And that won't cost anything extra?
Yeah, the position, it's already approved, it's just our person left to go to college.
Okay.
So no extra expense involved?
Yeah.
Motion approval, line nine. Take a second.
A second.
Motion and a second, we approve Ms. King being able to hire a 16-year-old person to the part-time helper at the library. Any further discussion? Those in favor, please indicate.
Aye.
Motion passes five oh. Thank you, Ms. King. An amount of books to read, too. I've read myself off the map. The Island by Michael Crichton in 1979. So I'm waiting on Grissom or Parker or somebody to come out with a new book. Okay. Number 10. Discuss and take action to approve payment of the autopsy expense of the deceased infant ordered by the Kemp County JP. Ms. Williams, you want us to talk about this now or go into closed?
I think go into closed session.
Very well. I think I've marked it broad enough to go into closed. Okay. So we'll come back to that one. Number 11, we're going to excuse Mr. Stegall. He had a family, I guess it's okay to say he had a family medical emergency.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Number 12, discuss and take action to approve filing of the fiscal year 25 proposed budget to the county clerk and post it to the Upshur County website no later than August 14, 2024, in accordance with Local Government Code Chapter 152. Ms. Williams.
Yes, sir. We are required to file the proposed budget prior to the actual public hearing on the budget. And so this is just giving me permission to file the proposed budget. It's not the adopted, it will be the proposed. And I will give the commissioners a copy of that a few days before I file it.
Ms. Housekeeper. Motion approved.
Second.
Did I hear a second?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Motion and a second. That we approve the filing of the fiscal year 25 proposed budget with the county clerk and post it to the county website by August 14th. Any further discussion? Those in favor, please indicate.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. Number 13. I guess I should have switched those around.
Well, not necessarily, sir.
Okay.
It's okay to leave it. I don't have any current actions that need to be discussed on that unless the commissioners do. I think we've pretty much nailed down all of the issues we have.
All right.
Beat that horse. Yes, ma'am. We sure have. That horse is limping.
Well, that being the case, Time's now 10:38 AM, and we've got some work to do, but we're gonna go on to close session on the Texas Open Meetings Act, found in Texas Government Code, Chapter 551, I-85-51-4071, 551-4072-5, and 551-4074. To consider along the following, the things up to on the agendas, the round 12 project administration, B, the round 12 funding, C, consideration of contracts concerning road and bridge, D, consider extraordinary potential expenses concerning criminal investigations and prosecution, E, to talk about the autopsy of the baby, and F, which also ties into A and B, consideration of an energy credit regarding the geothermal heat pump HVAC system being incorporated into the round 12 renovation. The record needs to reflect that Judge Lieber DeFleur is on the way, but we have work to do that doesn't involve him, that we'll probably start on first. So let's take like a 3-minute break at 10:35. We're now in closed session, and thank y'all for coming.